You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse as we're going to talk some Bucks today. We've got the Brewers going on. We've got the Packers starting soon. And we're going to talk some Bucks. That'll be in a few minutes. Ty Windish, Eurostep Podcast, he will join us today and make up the bulk of today's episode. Some other things, though, related to the two other teams. First and foremost, I am releasing a Bucks podcast in the middle of a doubleheader of the Brewers and Cubs. So maybe you catch it sometime later this week. I don't know. This series has already been interesting. Brewers win game one, 7-1, so they're back up 8 games in that series. I don't like watching the Brewers in Chicago. I don't like it. As much as I don't like watching I just don't like watching them play in general. The rivalry is too much. It's too much. And the Brewers have an 8-game lead. Yet if the Cubs win one of these games, they're going to celebrate as if they've just, you know, won the whole thing. There were like 5 bro chiefs standing behind home plate yesterday that I just decided I hated them. You know, these Chicago, young Chicago dudes don't work out on Monday. Gen Z, I don't know what's going on there. Gen Z is like, some of these kids are really struggling to find work. And I worry about that for them. And some of these kids are like, they have $400 million from online bullshit. So I don't know what the in-between. I don't think there is an in-between. They just do whatever they want. Oh, yeah, NFTs and crypto. I got in on this stock. And I don't know. I play video games. I don't know. I'm an old man. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. I'm an old man. Okay? Old. Old man. So they win game one of the series. Craig Counsell looks like he hates himself. The whole Counsell thing, man, I did not like when he became the manager of the Cubs. And we had talked about, is Craig Counsell going to win us a World Series? Have they gotten the most out of Craig Counsell? Do they need a new voice? The answer to that appears to be yes. But now maybe the Cubs are in the same position. Craig Counsell does not appear to be a leader. The team takes on the vibe of the manager. It couldn't be more true between the examples of what the Brewers are doing and what the Cubs are doing. Murphy and the Brewers go down a few runs, and they're like, all right, well, let's come back. Counsell goes down a few runs, and he looks like he wants to be anywhere but that stadium. And I don't know how they get past that. Now, it is a worry as a Brewer fan that we continue to kick ass and then have a bye in the playoffs, and then the Cubs come and sweep us. That is a concern. So let's do this. Let's get them. Let's do this. Let's knock them out of the playoffs entirely. And I don't think the collapse is going to be that bad. I don't see that happen. I mean, I don't think that's going to be. Can it be? They've got the wild card position prior to Tuesday's doubleheader, which should go as planned. I mean, they're four games up. No, they're five games up. They would have to really collapse, like really, really bad. So I don't know. And the teams that are fighting to get back in, right now the wild card would be Cubs, Padres, Mets. Padres have that series against LA, they got swept. That was no good for them. Mets are in there. And then the Reds are charging. The Cardinals, they're two games under. The Giants, there's nobody to realistically probably take them. It would have to be the collapse of all collapses. And then some. Because then you would need to bank on other teams finding some bullshit magic that only the Brewers have. The thing that I'm really upset about, Council, is this whole, I don't know what George Webb is. Now, he knows what George Webb is, but he was quoted as saying, honestly, I've never seen a George Webb. They interviewed him. I believe it was a Chicago paper that interviewed him about how the Brewers were doing. Like, this is your old team, and you got to play them coming up. What do you think? They're hot, and they're getting free burgers, 12 in a row. Honestly, I've never seen a George Webb. There's no way that's true. There's no way that that is true. He has lived here throughout his childhood life. He went to County Stadium all the time. There's no way that there wasn't a George Webb on that route. I know he's seen a George Webb. I know he has. You know he has. There was even one in Shorewood by Whitefish Bay. And there's no way he's never been on Oakland if you live in Whitefish Bay. So this George Webb, which I wish was still there because then I could easily get a burger on Wednesday. The best chance I have to get a burger, I think I have to go to the one in Hales Corners, Tyler Hero's old spot. I remember him always talking about how him and his boys went to that George Webb by work. I don't think I'm going to get a George Webb. It's on the other side of town. There was one on Oakland and Locust, which also closed. I had an idea to drive up to Peshtico and get one. I didn't even get one of the vouchers, 100,000 vouchers. I was going to get one yesterday. On Monday, and I couldn't get one. But I'm still getting involved in the burger thing because the George Webb that used to exist on Oakland then became Village Pub, which I'm really sad I've only been to once. That bar was that, I mean, that bar would have been home for me. Kind of small, cramped, divey. I believe it was carpeted. I only was there once. We moved to Shorewood in 13. And I only got there once. And then it became this spot called Cloud Red, which is good food. But it's one of those like menus on the wall and order at the bar and, you know. But it's good. It's good. I get the steak sandwich when I go there a lot. And they have like buffalo cauliflower bites. That I like. But they're doing free burgers. They said, we are in a location of a George Webb. We feel a duty to also give out free burgers. So Tuesday afternoon, I think from 2 to 6, and by the time that you hear this, it might be too late, but I'm gonna walk down there. And I'm gonna go to George Webb, or at least an old location of George Webb named Cloud Red. And I will get a free burger. I think they should have 2 to 4 till we are out. Okay. All right. So that counts. I mean, I'm not, you know, whatever. What am I going to do? Go across town for a 30 second. I'm going to put it on YouTube for 30 seconds. Here's me doing the same thing everyone else is doing. I wish I got a voucher though. That was a big fail. Big fail by your boy. Honestly, I've never seen a George Webb. I said, this is such a lie from Council, and it's such a minor lie. Like, it's such a minor lie. And do you know, take this from me, okay? Honestly, I'll be raw. Take this from me. So, well, I don't want to be that raw. Let's just say I had a particular vice. And let's say it was alcohol. And let's say I lied about how much I was in consuming it. The big lie gets you to the little lies. Little lies where you know you're lying and you know that they know you're lying. But because you're protecting the big lie, you're doing the little lies, the best I can do. The big lie is he fucked up. The big lie is, oh, I gotta wake up to talk to Ty. I just set my alarm. I don't know. I go to bed 3:30. The big lie is that he realizes the grass is not greener. Yeah, they went and got Kyle Tucker, and now he sucks. They didn't do anything special at the trade deadline, neither did Milwaukee. You know, the place to go would have been New York with Stearns. That would have been the place to go. They'll spend money. Chicago, you think they're going to spend money because they're a big-time city, but they're not doing anything. So maybe the grass is not greener for Craig. And now he's finding that out. And now the Brewers, not only can he not win the division, but it's the Brewers that are 8 games above him. So it's a lie. It's once you have a big lie, then you spring off of that a bunch of little lies. At least that's my experience. And that's all I can really comment on, I suppose. But to say he's never seen a George Webb is just insane. And then DGo151, David Go on Twitter, he found counsel talking about George Webb to Adam McKelvey in 2018. Who knew that we would make it this far and the biggest piece of stress going into this game would be George Webb's hamburgers? He knows the promotion well. He was in the stands for the Brewers' famous Easter Sunday comeback in 87, which gave him 12 straight victories. I remember the concept of free hamburgers going back so long, it's hard to believe it hasn't happened since then. I guess it's a pretty good streak, but it's something for everybody to talk about. Sure, I mean, free burgers is free burgers. I know you'll all be there. To be aware of this streak for 40 years and to live in Milwaukee and to never have seen a George Webb, it's just blatantly untrue. So why would you be compelled to lie about that? Why would you be compelled to lie about that? Unless you're a liar who is trying to lie to himself about your decision. I mean, there's George Webb's, even though there's not like, there's one downtown and the other ones throughout the city have closed over the years. There's George Webb's all over the place. I'm just looking at the map. It's unfathomable. And he's lying. And he knows he lies, and we know he's lying. And that's stupid. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Oh, thank God for them. Thank God for them. The seltzers, a lot better than the other thing I was doing. And you can relax better. The gummies. I took one the other night. I didn't think I was going to fall asleep. I took one of the Delta 9s. And, you know, those help too. You can take the CBD CBNs to help you sleep as well. Those have been good. But sometimes I like to live on the wild side and take some of the other ones. And I do. And I will continue to do it. And I will continue to tell you that you can take them as well. And you can get them on discount at happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off every order. We have been talking about Happy Place Hemp for 3 years. I think we're coming up on the anniversary date of... Did we pass it? Yeah, we passed it. We just passed the anniversary date of when Barty had no job no more. 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And after that, my guy Ty, who I'm going to talk to, was part of this Blue Wire network, and he got me on board. And so they've grown, and I've been happy to grow with them. And Happy Place Hemp immediately said, if you're doing something, we want in. And I cannot thank them enough, Chris and Rob, for helping keep this going. So check them out. There's a lot of ways to support the show. That's probably the most impactful with the direct results. And just order them, try them, or order them for a buddy. You know, or at least like if you know somebody who's using products, tell them, hey, I got this discount code for you. So it doesn't need to be you that uses them. Maybe you don't use them. Tell your buddy. Because there's a lot of people who I've told that have used similar products. And then I say, do you get 25% off every single time? And they say, as a matter of fact, I don't. And now they do. HappyPlaceHemp.com. Promo code BART at checkout.
You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Quick thing on the Packers. I see a lot of people getting excited about the possibility of Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, and the like. And I'll say what I've been saying on my radio show. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. Trey Hendrickson will start the season as a Bengal. Micah Parsons will start the season as a Cowboy. I kind of want one of these guys to actually get traded so that I can have fun with them again, because these holdouts drive me bananas. Nobody goes anywhere. Nobody ever gets traded. Nobody ever gets dealt. Nothing ever happens. It's guy holds out. We're like, whoa, wants more money. The team's like, no, no, no. And then he's like, I'm not going to play. And then we're like, whoa. And then odds are like, where's he going to go then? And then he's like, I want to trade. And we're like, eee. And then they're like, we're going to do, we're listening to offers now. Ooh. And then we're like, could the Packers get him? Could the Packers get him? Could the Packers get him? Trey Hendrickson signs a massive new contract with the Cincinnati Bengals. Every time. Every time. Every single time. I'm excited for the comeback the other day. I'm excited to shut Kurt Benkert up for an hour. Packers have the Seahawks, I believe, this weekend at home. At home. Saturday afternoon game. Thought about going to that. We went and took the kid to Lambeau last week, and then we were in Appleton, so we went to Green Bay and did the tour and the Hall of Fame, which he thought was fine. I think he needs to be a little older. I mean, there's some stuff he was into, but he liked the pro shop the best. And he bought a standings board. So now we're doing MLB standings. Now we're doing NFL standings. And he's played with that board. I want to rank board by favorite. I want to rank board by who won the most Super Bowl. I've created a monster. I have. I love it. I did it. I got my kid to like sports. I got to do a seminar on this, or at least write a book. This is my gift, I think. This might be my gift. Ty Windish, We will talk Bucks in mere moments. Literally, like, well, I don't know if I'm putting a commercial in here. But maybe I am, or maybe I'm not. But either way, next piece of Bart-produced audio will be a conversation with Ty Windish, and that will be next. And as always, thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse. Ty Windish is here. Ty, one of our favorite guests, although it's been too long. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bart. I'm glad to be back in the Winklerverse, as always, and appreciate you having me back. And, you know, I am too stingy with the guest invites to my podcast, so I cannot feign insult ever, because Rohan and I don't do a good job of having people on. So no worries, my man. You're still outfriending me in the media biz at this point.
Well, I think I'll, sure. That's good. We have a lot going on. We've got the Brewers. Packers are starting. So I thought this is a perfect time to talk Milwaukee Bucks. But it's been, you know, it's been an interesting offseason, to say the least. And I think this was an offseason. I don't know if you caught wind of me complaining about this, but there was one night where I got off. This was a month ago. So free agency's done. Trades are basically done. And last year we saw that Knicks-Wolves trade right before the season or camp. But I started getting – I get off the air at 1 a.m. on a Friday. And I'm like, thank God. It's the weekend. You know, I always try to cram whatever weekend I can from Friday 1 a.m. to Saturday. You know, I'm just like, come on. So I'm like, when you start a weekend, it's as optimistic as you ever are in life. The weekend, you could have no plans. You could have terrible plans, but start a weekend. I'm leaving the building. I get a phone call on my personal phone from some guy in Maryland. Says, hey, it's going down tomorrow. Giannis to the Knicks.
I did see you talk about this.
Take the over. So you're not calling me for... Then I'm driving home. I'm so pissed.
They're not even out yet by that point, right?
I
don't think over-unders are out in mid-July. I don't think they're even all out fully now. That's the funniest. Like, why is that the emphasis?
Yeah, I sit down at my computer when I get home. Probably to gamble or some shit.
Yeah, take the over on the Knicks.
I meant like slots.
Nice.
And then I get an email from a different guy. Oh, yeah, Giannis, it's going down. It doesn't go down. So I peppered these guys for 2 weeks after. Like, where is it? What's going on? Where is it? But that has been an unfortunate, so the whole Giannis thing. Let me just.
Yeah, yeah.
It does not take away from the fact that Giannis has been here and he's great and everything. But it is like a terrible side plot that we've had to go through all this the entire time. If there's ever been a time where it's like, oh, the Bucks might move on, this is the time. And I think that, you know, they're not trading him. A trade would be insane at this point. And so I don't think that you can ever do it again. But then specifically, one guy has been on ESPN every week trying to reignite the story, and I don't get what's going on. And I just feel like there has to be some like measure of accountability from people, but there's not going to be. And I don't know that he ends his career in Milwaukee. I don't know that in a couple of years he might go play somewhere else. Then all these people that have been saying for 12 years, like, see, we're right. No, you're not right. And I know this is the worst example ever, but it's the one I always bring up. I see him at swimming every 2 weeks. His kids swim where my kid swims for lessons.
Yep.
And do you know how completely, like, I've talked to him in media life, and even I don't think he remember me from nobody, but I've only said one thing to him one time after seeing him 10 different times. It was the day after they won the NBA Cup. He was already back.
Oh, wow.
And I said, congrats on the cup. And he's like, nice. Hey. And he's like, thanks. But he is completely unbothered.
Yep.
Everyone's like on their phone, like, Giannis is here, dude. But he's so unbothered. I don't know why he would ever, especially with having what, four kids now. I don't know why we'd ever want to give that up. So it's just a long-winded way of saying this is just exhausting, Ty.
Yeah, and to your point about accountability, I don't know if you've noticed the certain individual on the certain worldwide leader of sports has not said Giannis is going to leave. Has said for the first time, which struck me as odd because you can go back every year or two and there's a very similar story. But for the first time, he's really thinking about doing it, which is like, okay, it kind of sounds like when you want to punish your kids, but you're not really going to, you know, oh, this is, we're really going to have no TV this time. And there's always TV, but that's always been the report. Like he's really looking at, the worst one was draft day. The Bucks are coming up 40. Oh my God. Now I'm a bad pot. 47, I think, pick 47. And which Boglio Markovic, which if you're unfamiliar, a pick in the 40s or later in the NBA draft is, I don't know, like if you, the odds of bowling a perfect game in bowling, right, is like the odds of that being a good NBA player for any team, not just for the Bucks. And on the worldwide leader, it's like Giannis is very carefully looking at this pick and it's factoring into his decision. And like, really? Boglio Markovic versus Tyrese Proctor is like the next day he's going to make the call and be like, I'm going out now. I don't like Bogleyub. I should have been Tyrese Proctor, a different guy who's never going to play for the team because we're 11 players deep already. Like it's almost parody at that point. I've learned like it's going to come from Giannis. I think that's some of the animus toward him from some of like the news breaking thing is the last two Giannis roster moves are both extensions in Milwaukee. And the person who broke both of those stories was Giannis Antetokounmpo just tweeting it out. And I think that kind of bothers the ecosystem where it's like, you know, the agent favors and the reporting and the analysis included in the reports of like, oh, this player who accomplished all this and he's getting salary dumped, but it's currency. It's all swapped around. Giannis doesn't participate. And I really think that ruffles some feathers in that world. So I think if he goes, he'll probably just let us know. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it'll be different in that sense. I don't think it's going to be like we keep hearing like, oh, maybe it'll be midseason. I don't think players of his caliber move midseason. I don't even think it would be now. I think if he goes, it would be a lot more orchestrated than what people are saying. But I just don't think he's going to, frankly. Like I think he thinks about it. Of course, there's better teams you could go to right now. I think he loves Milwaukee. I think he really likes the Bucks org. I think John Horst got extended because John Horst and him have a great relationship. And because John Horst is like fanatical to the point of a lot of people think it's stupid to do what they do. But he's like, we have Giannis. We're just going to try to win every year. We're not going to take a gap year. The guy's 30. He's the best player in the world. Like, we're just going to go win. And I think that really speaks to Giannis, where you could look around the league and a lot of front offices with really great players don't do that. And I think... And lastly, the Dame thing, right? Of like the grass is now a screener and Dame is just like going to go back now. Like, I think that is a factor too. To your point about the fame, did you catch him on the Kai Cenat stream at all? He goes on the biggest streamer in the world's stream with him in the streets of Greece, of all places. And yeah, so many reasons.
I get Kai Cenat confused with I Show Speed.
Oh, it was I Show Speed. My bad. Sorry. It was
look at me.
I got this wrong on our pod too. Yeah, you nailed it. But, so many people go up to
only because like I Show kids. Speed was in the Royal Rumble.
There you go. That's right. He was. I think he is now the biggest. So sorry to cast not number two or whatever. But Giannis was like freaked out. Like, why are all these people here? And he's telling them like people like this guy tore my hair out and everything. And Giannis is like, what the hell? And bails early. And after he told his wife earlier, like, oh, I'm going to be a streamer. I think Giannis is not going to be a streamer. I think Giannis is kind of like, don't mind Milwaukee and just going around Greece by myself, actually. Like, I think it's true. He does not like the big market feel at all.
I want to touch on something with, Horst and what you said, but a quick, like, why didn't Giannis and Dame work? Mm. Remember when we got him and it was like, the potential of what it could be really didn't even come close. And the best that Dame's looked here was probably the first half of a playoff game where Giannis didn't play. What happened?
Two super high usage guys that I think they never fully got on the same page of how to play. I think it's very easy to say, okay, Giannis is the big, Dame is the guard. Giannis should screen and roll for Dame. No, Giannis is not DeAndre Jordan. And I don't think Giannis ever has said, I want to screen and roll 40 times a game. I think he does it. It's the right play to do from time to time. I don't think he has ever signed up for like, hey, I'm going to be the guy who sets the screen and rolls hard to the rim. He wants to have the ball in his hands. He blatantly said that after the last series ended of like, you know, they basically asked him, what did you think about becoming the point guard with Dame out? He's like, I see this as the next step in my career. Like he wants to be Jokic. He doesn't want to be, you know, a pick and roll man. I think that was the issue. But I think the real reason it didn't work, they didn't play in the playoffs together. I think they would have figured it out and they would have been really good and really hard to stop. They'd never had a real shot. They had what? Less than one game or one game and like a quarter, I think. And Dame was hobbled for that one game. So maybe it would have worked after all, but I think as great as it seemed like to be a fit, I think people underestimate that Giannis is not really interested in just like totally playing off someone else. And Dame isn't really equipped to. And I mean, he can space the floor. I think he's better shooting pull up than he is off the catch. Like he doesn't want to be Klay Thompson either. So I think they just had some difficulty. They tried. I mean, I'm not saying that like, I don't think it was terrible. I think they won games. They would have been, I think, a good playoff team. But the real answer is injuries. But I do think the chemistry on who's going to do what on the floor never fully clicked either.
Well, it's so weird with the Bucks. Like, since they won the title, which was great.
That was good.
Since they won the title, they've made a lot of moves. They traded Drew. They traded Chris. They fired Bud and then fired Griffin and then hired Doc and then traded for Dame and then stretched Dame and got Miles Turner. But we don't even know what we're reacting to because every playoff there was an injury.
Yep.
So obviously 4 years later, if you've still got Brooke and Drew and Middleton and yeah, like that's way too old. You're going to have to, but you don't know any, you don't really know what would have happened. So they keep making all these moves. And then they go ahead, and this is back to what you're saying about Horst. Like, there are some situations where you should think forward building. I think one of the successful things about the Brewers, even though we hate it, and it'll probably end like it always does, but it's fun right now, is that they're trying to compete. And every move they're trying to make is, we want to compete right now, but we don't want to sacrifice 3 years from now. With the Bucks, we don't know what's going to happen. I think it's foolish to ever kind of prepare. Like, I don't know, this is bigger world stuff, but you know, 10 years, what's stuff going to look like in 10 years? AI is going to be enslaving us all. You know, whatever. Yeah. But if you've got more micro, if you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, and this guy is like you're never going to have a guy like this in Milwaukee again.
Give it 50 years, right? That's what it took last time. Yeah. In 50 years, we might have a similar player.
50 years later, Giannis. You have to do everything. Like, oh, well, yeah, they're going to have Dame on the books in 5 years for $20 million. You think I care about that?
No,
I don't.
They're going to be bad that season no matter what. I will tell you that much. I feel pretty strongly. Maybe Giannis at 35 is still good enough, but you know, I think this is the window. And that's what a lot of the analysis misses of like, why would they ever plan for 2029 when they already have some picks out the door? But to your point, this isn't baseball. You can't just be like the plucky.
So why are people so,
you know,
stupid? Why are people so?
Because they don't want to like
see
the Bucks
and they're like, Miles Turner, that's a bad move in 2030. Who cares? Yeah.
Because nobody likes the Bucks. Nobody watches the Bucks.
I know why.
That's why. Sucks. That's why. Yeah.
Brewers,
that's
too.
It. That's really it. Yeah.
Stupid. But the Turner move, Ty, the Turner move, I mean, you at one hand, you're like, okay, Giannis needs to play with Dame. And then you go, no, actually, it'd be better if he played with a guy like Miles Turner. That was shocking that this all went down. How do you see it on the court? How do you see this fitting now?
I'm really excited to the point about it being shocking. I actually, and the person had to remind me, and they were very gracious. I don't remember who it was, but somebody who follows me on Twitter, like I don't know, a month before the offseason, just randomly like, do you think the Bucks could stretch Dame and then open up cap space? And I was like, didn't even look into the mechanics. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't think they would do that. I mean, that's pretty crazy. I can't, they'd have the mid-level anyway. So I don't, I think, you know, it, cute idea, but no. And then they do it and the guy's like, hey, I guess this ended up happening. And I was like, shout out to you, man. That's an incredible pull. Maybe that's the super nerd that apparently helped the Bucks figure it out too. But
maybe it was a guy with the Bucks and he was just floating the idea.
Seriously. Yeah. It's just like soft launch it. I was shocked. I was in a work call and all the news came out during it. So I'm going back through in reverse chronological order. So the first thing I see is like Bucks agree to multi-year deal with Miles Turner. I'm like, what? And then go down one and it's like Lillard's wave and stretch will cost this per year. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like gathering myself. I get on with Rohan. We do a really quick emergency pod, just going like, what just happened? I think for Turner in specific, I think it's a great fit. I think even if he is comparable or slightly worse than Lopez at the rim defensively, and I do think to the message of no one watches the Bucks, even just at rim, Lopez had declined. I think the foot speed dropping, he was able to get over and protect the rim a little later, and I think success rate had started to creep up even when he was in drop of opponents at the rim against him. Still very good there, but not the same player. And he was having a pretty substantial negative effect on the team in terms of just the speed, the athleticism gap the Bucks were giving up to teams, how you're kind of forced to play one style with him, the weakness in transition. Offensively, teams just always welcomed him to shoot, and the Bucks didn't do much besides just let him bomb those long threes. And most of the nights when he's like 1-for-4, that was very difficult for them, I think, offensively. I think Turner being able to do most of the same things, protect the rim, bomb the threes, those things are important. Those, you kind of need those to be starting center next to Giannis, but then also giving you just the athleticism. He's a capable mid-range shooter, so that kind of opens up some, you know, he can maybe pop or roll with Giannis and into some different areas, and I think Brook can comfortably. Brook not really a pull-up mid-range shooter. Turner can do that. Obviously, he's going to be able to just get to the rim more because he is just much more athletic. There's the great clip from the finals where he gets out to the perimeter, blocks Chet Holmgren, sticks with him on a drive, and then blocks him again. You know, I'm not trying to throw mud on an all-time great Buck who I said his number should be retired, but obviously Lopez wasn't going to be able to do that. It's certainly not at age 38. And I think what I really like about him being the premier guy that they have at the moment with Giannis is it leans you into more of a defensive identity while you still have that offensive floor spacing. And I think that's how Giannis wants to play. It always felt like when he would talk, especially in the Griffin era, and they'd win like, you know, 128 to 121, he was always a little disgusted of like, the, oh, great, we outscored them, but we couldn't get stops. I don't think Giannis enjoys winning that way. I think he wants to win the way they won in 21, the way they won under Bud of like, all right, we only got 105, but they had 89. You know, we were able to get stops. I think they're going to be able to get stops. They don't have the Drew Holiday out there. I'm really high on Rollins, but I'm not putting him in that ballpark at the moment. But I think their back line is going to be so suffocating and they don't have clear weak links on the perimeter. I think they're really going to be a force defensively. And I'm very excited to get back to that for this Bucks team.
The roster has been filled out with, I mean, I'm stunned. Gary Trent was like, yeah, I'll come back again for no
money. Well, you know, that's the, you know, Adam Silver, don't listen. That's a little, hey, we got your early bird next year. 450 could be on the table. We'll see what happens.
So I like that. And then a bunch of guys are like, oh, yeah, Gary Harris. Oh, yeah, Cole Anthony. You're a big Amir Coffey guy. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like Amir Coffey. Not even if it, like, on a camp deal. That's the thing. They get crazy value. I mean, everyone.
Yeah.
Here's the conversation about the Bucks: is stupid to do the Dame thing. They didn't replace Dame. They barely replaced Brook, which I'd simply disagree, but we can move on. They have no proven players, which I don't think is true. I think down, up and down the rotation, it's a lot of pretty good players. And then they'll like, oh, they can't draft. Their draft is horrible. They use like 2 firsts every 5 years, but still, and it's fair. They have not drafted well, but you can't overlook the wins they've had on the margins, like bringing in a Trent, who's just, they bring in a starting shooting guard every year for no real resources, and that player goes and gets paid more and plays worse somewhere else, and they're just like, yeah, we have another one. They got Grayson Allen and for Gamble, like Sam Merrill.
Potentially.
What'd you say?
And potentially
and Gambles. Yeah. Yeah. Should have stuck to the slots like you. Maybe you should place a call there and maybe we can change some habits. But Malik Beasley got more. Grayson Allen got way more in Phoenix. But people said the Bucks extended him. They said that was an overpay for like 8 million. But I digress. They win around the margins at a very high level. I think their point guard room is going to surprise people. And I think, like, again, Amir Coffey was on people's lists as like, this is a good unrestricted free agent. Like, should go get a little bit. I mean, no one.
Always good until they're with the Bucks. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, now it's like no one needs him. But not a great defender, but he can shoot it. And they're just like, we're just going to have Giannis, a floor spacing big, a bunch of shooters, and then like one guy who can kind of be a second point guard and slash. And I think it's a good plan. I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
So the East is wide open. Cavs, Knicks. I'm high on the Pistons.
A lot of people are. I like Cade a lot. I'm just like, who's? It's a big bet on Jaden Ivey. The fact that they didn't do much this summer, which is fine, but we'll see.
When they were bad 2 years ago, I called them as a playoff team the next year. I said, that's nice. A good team. I didn't bet any money on it because every time I have real predictions, I never do anything with them. But I, you know, the Celtics are hurt and the Pacers, of course. And it's almost like, at least for the East right now, not the West, but in the East is like, get in. There'll probably be a devastating injury to somebody, you know?
Yeah.
You hate to factor that in, but I am. Any level of like optimism for me, then I remember we have Kyle Kuzma. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Can he like not be bad?
Yeah, he can certainly be better. I mean, I think he shot like 4 of 11 from layup in the playoffs, which in the regular season, he was actually pretty good there. I think he'll look better than he looked in the playoffs, which is what sticks out. And that's the most important. So it does obviously matter. I think he'll look better than that this regular season. My big question there is, what's the role going to be and who is he playing with? I wouldn't start him. I think that's a mistake. I would try and stagger him with Giannis as much as possible because he's really, you look up and down like the top 11 or 12 guys outside of Jericho Sims, who I don't expect to play a large role. He's the only one where you're like, oh, not really a shooter or doesn't really make sense with Giannis. Cole Anthony, not great, but you know, a slashing point guard, not as tough of a fit. I think Kuzma's the one who's probably the worst fit with Giannis. Hopefully he can just give you, you know, some slashing, some perimeter defense, which there were moments like, I'm not trying to sound like number one Kuzma fan, but he had like a really nice game against the Lakers defending Luka last season. Like there were some moments where he was legitimately helpful. Would it be great if he could get that 3-point shot ironed out? Yes. I'm just not going to, you know, hope for too many things at once here, but some of my Bucks optimism centers on this is a aggressive front office and that's a very useful salary. And they have a pick and a swap in the future. They could trade and, I never truly think they're done. And I think there's everyone talks about next summer, they'd have two firsts and a swap and Kuzma expiring then. And that does make sense. I think they're going to look around. I think they're looking around now. You hear them kind of buzz in some of these restricted free agent conversations. I think they'll look around at the deadline too. A team I keep circling. Toronto is over the tax right now. Probably not going to be that good. And if they swapped out RJ Barrett for Kyle Kuzma, suddenly they're under the tax. Just little things like that. I'm just looking at, and I think from the Bucks' perspective, I feel a lot better about the team with Barrett at the three and Kuzma not on the team than I would currently.
So what do you think goes down? I saw you got bold with a prediction on Hardwood Knox.
Mm.
How bold are we talking?
Pretty bold. I think I said they'd be a – did I say top – I think I said top 5 defense and top 10 offense. Putting them probably around 7th in the NBA in net rating.
So we're thinking top 4 in the East again?
I'm thinking top 4 in the East, yeah. I pegged them as 4. I feel pretty good about Cleveland Knicks. There's a lot of talent there. Playoff questions, but a lot of talent. And then I think probably like one of Orlando, Detroit, maybe Atlanta, but probably one of the first two. I could see probably Orlando. I think they have a pretty good... some shooting concerns, but they have a pretty good thing there. And then it's kind of those 4 teams in that next group. I think the Bucks could be in the top half of that group, home court in the first round.
And then again, like, just get to the playoffs if they can be healthy.
They're more insulated than ever. It's like, keep Giannis upright. Everybody else is kind of replaced. Turner would be obviously good, but everyone else is kind of replaceable. Like, we have a lot of shooting wings. We have a lot, like, three different point guards. Like, it's the one guy. You got to get Giannis there, and then there's a lot of pieces around him that make sense.
Well, it's such a battle of attrition.
Yeah.
Like, what happened in the last playoffs, we thought it would be Cavs and Celtics. Cavs. So the Pacers come in and play this style where it's just like, we're going for 48 minutes. And we, like, Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs, they were wiped by game four already. But then, you know, they got hurt and the Celtics got hurt. And it's just like, this is as much of a just get in and see what happens here as any. So I am glad that they're not just like, oh, you know, we'll miss and, you know, Giannis can win an MVP or whatever. I mean, the gap year strategy totally made sense, but Horst is like, no, I'm not just going to waste a year of Giannis. And I think you gotta, like, whether it is proven right or wrong, this guy, the entire time he's been here, has done everything he can to give them a better shot, at least on paper.
The thing about the Dame
trade is, we all know it didn't work out, but everyone says, well, if you had to do it over, of course you do it. Like, even knowing it's not going to work out, you have to do it.
Yeah.
The potential, even the potential. So I just get in, man.
It's been very rare that when Horst does a move, I'm like, oh, that sucks. So I find it hard to be like, we should get rid of him. If in the moment, most of the stuff he does, I'm like, yeah, I like the idea of that. Like, yeah, go and get Dame. It worked about as poorly as possible, especially with the injury at the end, where even if it didn't work, I believe the reporting that, like, both sides were kind of like, you know, doesn't go well this year. Maybe we find him a new home. You know, maybe we do something there. There would have been a lot more value for the Bucks, you know, trading him and not having to wave and stretch him, obviously. So, like, really went about as poorly as it could have gone. And they're just like, yeah, let's reload it and try again. I think the gap year thing, I think it's a hard sell to Giannis. And even if he was in, he was like, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm realistic. And I don't think he would have liked it at all. But even if he was, like, you know, I won't ask out. Let's reload for next year, whatever. I just think about the Sixers a lot, and they did a gap year in Embiid's prime, and now we don't know if Embiid will ever have a prime again. I think he was kind of hurt for their gap year too, but going in, they were like, you know, we're going to open up the cap space, whatever else, like, we're going to wait on everything. But we don't know if we're going to get another great Joel Embiid year. Obviously, God forbid anything happens to Giannis, knock on wood, everything else. But I just, a guy who's 30 at that size, all those miles, how hard he plays, I wouldn't want to be like, yeah, we're just not going to compete this year and might be one of his last great years. So yeah. I like the idea of, like, you know, like you're saying, let's get in, let's see what happens. Everyone liked OKC, but nobody thought Indiana was going to go to the finals, and they were in game seven. I mean, if there's not another freak injury or if it happens on the other side, they might be champions. It does feel like a time where you can just be like, we have players who can play a nice modern style. We have a guy who clearly is going to be the best guy in almost any possible playoff series we're in. Let's just go and see what happens and not punt it here.
Ty Windish, Eurostep Podcast. You've been, like we all have, wrapped up with the Brewers. I just saw this from 670, The Score, my friends in Chicago. As Chicago is obsessed, Chicago can say whatever they want, but they are obsessed with Milwaukee and Wisconsin. They talk about us almost more than we do. They interviewed Pat Murphy today, and Pat Murphy said when Council left to go to the Cubs, did you think you would join him? He said, heck yeah, Council and I talked about it. I got involved in that. I had no idea the Brewers wanted me. I think, like, and maybe this can apply to the Bucks or whatever, but my big takeaway on the Brewers is, like, you play like your coach's personality. And Craig Council, down 3-0, is sitting there going, what do I do? Grass is not greener situation. And Murphy down 3-0, he's like, someone go get some hits. The way that they have been exploiting, even there was a game Monday, I think it was Freelix dancing around on the bases just to, like, mess with the pitcher. and Durbin's trying to run on a pass ball that was, they're just like, people are mad at them for, they're not cheating. They're playing baseball. They're trying to find every edge. And yeah. Like this whole Michigan college scandal, is this cheating? I don't know. Did they go say, hey, you go scout this other team and let it, they're finding edges. I think I'm very gray on cheating. I'm very, very gray. Very gray on what's finding an edge.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get access into the building and watch the Rams practice before the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't I do that? Right. You know, we're not all like, oh, I found the other team's playbook in the garbage. I better go. I'm looking at that thing. You know, I'm not breaking in and stealing it. So anyway, yeah. I don't think the Brewers are anywhere near that. They're just playing good baseball.
No. Yeah.
This has been, for a guy like me who has been convinced that the Brewers will never win a World Series, it's just not going to happen. I'm as into it as ever. My kid just turned 6 and he's into it. I think that's a big part of it. Oh,
perfect timing. Perfect timing.
You know, I'm like, kid, I had to wait 41 years for a season like this. This is just like the first season you're going to ever remember.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough going forward, but hopefully.
And I hate being an enjoy the ride guy, Ty.
You got to.
But man, exactly. I'm enjoying this ride.
I really want to see him hit 100, and obviously they're on pace too. But that to me is like the first thing. I'm not even thinking playoffs right now, just because, I mean, it always felt pretty unreachable to me. Like, you see the teams that went 100, and I feel like it's always like you think of like the Yankees with like 5 guys who make as much as the Brewers' whole roster, and you know, these amazing teams and these legendary pitchers and stuff. Winning 100, I feel like, already makes it. And I don't want to totally be like, oh, it doesn't matter if they, it'll be terrible if they lose in like the DS or the again. But that to me is already cemented as like legit best season ever in Brewers history already. Obviously, they've went farther in the playoffs before, but in terms of regular seasons, already number one. I think the way they're doing it is so awesome in that there's not one player who could be like, oh, you take that guy away and they suck, because they lose those players all the time. They've been without Churio for like some of their hottest baseball of the season. They just find a way. To your thing about Murphy, I was thinking this literally today, so I'm glad you brought it up. And I don't know if you remember the infamous, somebody in the NBA world was like, if there was a fantasy draft right now, would you take Brad Stevens first or like LeBron or whatever it was, like, you know, saying as when he was a coach, like he gives you that much of an edge. However, though, I do wonder, like, is Murphy the most important asset for the Brewers right now? Any player, Matt Arnold, whatever. Like, I just feel like I don't know how you replace him at this point. And I know they replace everyone all the time.
This team's record would be reversed if they had Counsell's moping.
It feels like that. It feels like that. Like, I want the extension so bad that I would celebrate it like they won a playoff game. If right now we got the Jeff Passan, like, you know, multi-year contract extension for Pat Murphy. I don't care if you skip out on every pitcher who comes to free agency, Mark A. Like, I get it. They're all going to go and be worse somewhere else. We're going to sign someone with a 19 ERA, and they're going to tell him, hey, fix your fastball, and he's going to be an incredible Brewers pitcher. And then the cycle will repeat. I'm fine. Do it forever. Let every Willie Adames walk. I need Pat Murphy on the ball club. He's the only guy I look at, and I'm like, I don't know what they do without him. I love him.
The fact that Ad Nauseo goes, yeah, am I supposed to win a World Series or provide families a summer of entertainment and passion? And then delivers on it.
He did it.
That bastard.
All I pray is let's not do the thing before the playoffs where there, I don't even know if they have one right now, but if there's like Adames last year where they were just like, yeah, he's probably gone. Let's, like, even if he is, just lie to us and not kill the whole vibe of the team, please. Because that was terrible last year. That was the worst. Everyone sit there like,
nothing clause up. We don't need a clause up or whatever that was. Nothing like that.
No.
Just, pocket pancakes just, is good enough.
So he's definitely pulling a Webs out of his pocket in Chicago this week, right? That's got to happen.
I don't know. They got some. George Webb gave him some on the ride down, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it already happened.
So they already had one.
Yeah. But that would be great, though, if he pulled it out like 2 days later, just sitting on one, kept it wrapped.
I think this is the greatest promotion of all time because anytime the Brewers like start to win 6 games, they get publicity. Yeah. And everyone's so excited to go to George Webb. But other than these streaks, no one ever goes to George Webb. They're closing faster than like Kmart's.
Yeah. It's and so the history of it is funny too. I was looking it up and the original guy was just like just painted on their wall for some reason. The Brewers are gonna win 13 straight. No talk of burgers. Later his son takes it over and makes it like this burger bet thing. And it's a very weird, like very classic old Milwaukee kind of thing. But I think it's great. It might keep George Webb in business for a few more years.
I got the old poster right there, George Webb.
Oh, nice.
George Webb's been getting free advertising on my podcast this whole time. I didn't even realize it.
Well, I was going to say you should see if we can get that paid, but if they have to give out any more than one free burgers every 30 years, it might get tough for them. So I think they're a little worried about how good the Brewers look lately.
Yeah, they might, because they were so close to a streak and then they failed and then they just was like, all right, 2 weeks later, we'll do it.
Just run it back.
Unreal. Ty, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming back on and back into, you know.
The Winklerverse. I love it. Thanks for having me, man.
Ty Windisch. And thank you all for stopping into. I got to end it like that. The Winklerverse.